So today we are celebrating and reflecting upon an event which signifies our Christian faith. It's so key and central to it. Easter, Resurrection Sunday, the day that Jesus conquered the grave and rose from the dead. However you say it, the bottom line is always true in all those instances that Jesus died for our sins. And because of that, we have been forgiven and we can experience eternal life in heaven because of what he did for us. When I started thinking about the sermon this week, as I started preparations on it, I started having memories of Easter egg hunts at the church that I grew up in when I was a child. And I remember kids being spread out all over the place and they were running around looking for these beautiful Easter eggs. And then I remembered the incredible prize that people would get, or the person would get, who found the most Easter eggs. And it was interesting that kids, they searched in so many different ways depending on their motivation and what their goal was. For some kids, they were just happy to be included. And so they were so grateful to be participating. And for those, and I was a little surprised, but there's some people that love hard-boiled eggs. And so if you were one of those people, you were excited to be participating, but you were excited to be getting free hard-boiled eggs. And so you were grateful for that. And then there were those, though, they were motivated by something different. They were the kids that were motivated by that gigantic chocolate bunny and the possibility of winning it. So these were the kids, they were searching the hardest, they were searching the longest, because their motivation was this giant chocolate bunny. And it was also interesting to see what caused people to quit looking, what caused people to give up. For some people, it was just too hard to find eggs. There was always a kid or two that they just weren't able to find anything, and so they just gave up. It was too much work. Others, they might have had their parents or their older siblings help them, so they weren't really invested, and so they easily gave up as well. I remember some kids, they would get so discouraged when they saw other kids that had a lot more eggs in their basket than them, and so they would quit searching. But then there were those ones that were locked in on winning that gigantic chocolate bunny, that incredible prize. They looked the hardest, and they stayed out the longest searching for all of the eggs. And they literally did not leave any stone unturned. Those church Easter egg hunts, they got me thinking about the first followers of Christ. Because they too were on a hunt. They were looking for Jesus who had just been crucified. And initially, they all struggled to find Jesus because they were searching for the wrong things. And they were looking in the wrong places. Today, I'm going to be referencing different accountings of Jesus' resurrection, but I wanted to kind of set the stage by opening and reading one of those accountings most of the way through. And so I chose Mark 16, verses 1 through 14. I'll be reading from the NASB. So if you want to grab your Bibles, or if you want to open your Bible apps, it's also it's always an incredible thing we could read the Word of God together. Again, we're going to be looking at Mark 16, and I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 14. Mark 16, verses 1 through 14 in the NASB. It says, "When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might come and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. They were saying to one another, 'Who will roll away the stone from the entrance of the tomb for us?' And looking up, they noticed that the stone had been rolled away, for it was extremely large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting at the right, wearing a white robe, and they were amazed. But he said to them, 'Do not be amazed. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who has been crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See, here is the place where they laid him. But go, tell the disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you. There you will see him, just as he told you. And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had gripped them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now, after he had risen early on the first day of the week, he first appeared to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons. She went and reported to those who had been with him. Well, they were mourning and weeping, and when they heard this, when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they refused to believe it. Now, after that, he appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking along their way to the country. And they went away and reported it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later, he appeared to the 11 disciples as they were reclining at the table, and he reprimanded them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who had seen him after he had risen from the dead. Hearing how the first follower of Christ responded to Jesus' resurrection is important for us to understand, because just like them, Christians today, we can miss him. We can miss Jesus. We can fail to see Jesus when he is right in front of us, or if we don't have any physical evidence that he is working in our lives. So today, I want to take a look at this. So let's start by talking about how or why can we miss Jesus. Sometimes we can miss Jesus because we're looking for the wrong things. Luke 24, verse 5, it says, "And as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, 'Why are you seeking the living one among the dead?'" You see, the women, they were looking to prepare Jesus' body for burial. They didn't understand what he had taught them, that he would need to die and be resurrected. So they were looking for the wrong things. They were looking for a dead Jesus. And they were looking at the wrong place. They were looking for the tomb. They weren't looking at where Jesus was. They missed him. And I've seen this with people today. I've seen people who, they think the only place that they can find God, the only place that they can talk with Jesus and pray, is in a church building or literally in front of a cross. And so these symbols or these man-made creations, they become something that they're not supposed to be. And people miss Jesus because they don't understand that God is everywhere at all times. The next way we can miss Jesus is that the way that God does things, it doesn't make sense to us. Luke 24, verses 8 through 11, in the NASB, it says, "And they remembered his words and returned from the tomb and reported all these things to the 11 and to the rest." Now, these women were Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James. Also, the women with them were telling these things to the apostles. But these words appeared to them as nonsense. They would not believe the women. We have to understand that God's ways are not our ways. And he often does things in ways that we wouldn't even consider. I saw this firsthand in my life when I was helping a church to rebuild their youth ministry. And this was just a short-term contract. And I thought, hey, you know, I'm going to help them out, even though there's some theological differences. And at that time, I didn't realize how important it was to be in a church that had the same theology that I do. And so I went there and I started helping them. And it was such a challenge. There was resistance every step of the way. And I didn't realize, though, that God was using this very tangible example to drill home, to get into my head, Andrew, you need to be in a church with similar theology. Otherwise, you're going to see that people are divided. They're not united. You're going to struggle with these very basic common things. But I didn't get that because God was doing something in a way that I wouldn't. And what's so amazing is that through me being there, even though knowing what happened, I wouldn't have chose that direction. I would have looked for a much easier way to teach me that lesson. God also used my experience to bring in the guy who now is their full-time youth pastor. he was one of the people that I brought in to help serve the youth ministry. So we have to understand that sometimes, I would say most of the time, God does things in a very different way than we would. And if we're not careful, just because we don't understand it, we can miss God. Another way that we can miss God is there's something wrong with our heart condition. Luke 24, verses 24 through 25, it says, "And so some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women also had said, but him they did not see. And then he had said to them, 'You foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets had spoken.'" So being slow of heart, they didn't truly believe in their hearts. It was something that they were saying, but it hadn't really entered their hearts. They didn't truly believe it. We see this also in Luke 24 and verses 36 through 38. "Now, while they were telling these things, Jesus himself suddenly stood in their midst and said to them, 'Peace be to you.' They were startled and frightened and thought that they were looking at a spirit. And he said to them, 'Why are you frightened? And why are doubts arising in your hearts?'" Again, our heart condition is so important. Sometimes we can have a hardened heart because of things that have happened to us in our past. Maybe it's a bad experience. Maybe it's a bad experience in church. Are you missing God because something is wrong with your heart condition? Another way that we can miss God, that we don't see him, is that our feelings and emotions can keep us from seeing Jesus. Sometimes things may seem too good to be true. Luke 24, verses 40 through 41, it says, "And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they could still not believe it because of their joy and astonishment, he said to them, 'Have you anything to eat?'" So what's happening there is we have people that are, they're so excited, they're so overjoyed. They're saying, it's just too good to be true. And there's times when we do that too, that God does something so amazing, but we don't recognize it's God. And we say, "Oh, wow, you're a lucky person," or, "You were just in the right place at the right time." And we say that instead of saying, it's God. God allowed that to happen. God kept me from doing this, or God has blessed me. It's another way that we can miss God. And sometimes it can be just the pure emotions of anger, sadness, frustration. John 20, verses 11 through 15, it says, "But Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping. So as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had been lying. And they said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping?' She said to them, 'Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they put him.' When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and yet she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?' Thinking that he was the gardener, she said to him, 'Sir, if you had carried him away, tell me where you put him, and I will take him away.'" How amazing is this, that a woman that spent time with Jesus, that learned from him, she didn't recognize him. She thought he was a gardener. God often works through suffering and the trials and tribulations of life to grow our faith and trust. And sometimes, if we're not careful, our emotions, whether it's being overjoyed, it's sad, it's frustration, it's anger, they can keep us from seeing Jesus. And the final thing that I want to talk about that keeps us from seeing Jesus is we may only believe what we can see and prove. John 20, verses 24 through 25. "But Thomas, one of the 12, who was called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples were saying to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see his hands, the imprint of the nails, and put my finger in the place of the nails, and put my hand in his side, I will not believe." Are you one of those Christians? Are you somebody that says, "Unless I can prove this beyond a shadow of a doubt, unless I can put my fingers in the holes of Jesus' hands, I won't believe"? Now, understanding how we can miss Jesus, it's so key to our faith. Because our faith is contingent on our belief in a miraculous event we did not see. I want to talk about that for a while. Again, our faith is contingent on our belief in a miraculous event we did not see. What's so incredible when you think about it is the fact that no one, not even these first followers of Jesus, no one ever saw Jesus physically rise from the dead. People saw a big stone that was rolled away. They saw linens, and they also saw angels. But they never physically saw the process of Jesus rising from the dead. And this got me thinking, could it be that the all-knowing creator of the universe, he knew that with all the challenges and chaos in the world, just like what we're experiencing in the world today, that the best way to get people to believe in his son, Jesus, so they can experience forgiveness of sin and eternal life, is reading and hearing the firsthand accounts of people who spent time with Jesus, but did not witness his physical resurrection. They weren't there to see him actually rise. And how until they searched for him with all their hearts, they couldn't find him. They couldn't see him. I would say, yes, I think so. I believe that's the reason. So as Christians, and this is the last place I want to land, is we need to seek Jesus with all of our hearts. So what exactly does this mean? What's a tangible definition of seeking Jesus with all our hearts? Well, it means when we want Jesus more than anything else. Again, seeking Jesus with all your heart is when you want him more than anything else. More than you want to talk to your friends, more than you want food, more than you want to pay your bills, more than you want good health, more than any of those things. You want Jesus. How do we do this? How can we get a mindset? How can we have a lifestyle that desires Jesus above everything else? Well, take some time and remember and reflect on who Jesus is, the sacrifice that he made, and what he's done for you each and every day of your life. Approach him with fear and reverence, awe and worship. Approach him in humility. Realize Jesus knows far better than you everything, which includes how to live your life. Jesus knows that better than you. God of the universe created you. The God of the universe knows you intimately. He knows the best and the worst decisions you could possibly make. Read your Bible, but read it intentionally. And what do I mean by that? Don't just read the Bible to read it. Read it specifically to learn more about God's character. Read it to learn more about his expectations of his creation. And you are his creation. Read to see what God is pleased by. So read the Bible intentionally. And I realize sometimes that's difficult. Sometimes we have to just read the Bible in the morning with our devotional apps, and that's fine. But start to develop a desire to read the Bible intentionally. Have some questions in mind that you want to go to the Bible to answer. Spend time communicating with God the same way you communicate with those closest to you. Sometimes we can talk to people and it's a very surface conversation. God wants intimacy with you. Tell him the deepest desires of your hearts, your fears, your struggles, your challenges. Seek God as if your life depended on it, because ultimately it does. Let me repeat that. Seek God as if your life depended on it, because ultimately it does. I love how one author spoke about seeking God with all of your heart. He said, "I seek you first before all else. I seek you foremost above all else. I seek you fundamentally beneath all else. I seek you finally after all else. I seek you fully besides nothing else. And I seek you faithfully despite everything else." It's so important that we seek after God, we seek after Jesus with all of our hearts. Because just like the first Christians, those first followers of Christ, we didn't get to see Jesus physically resurrected from the dead. We don't even get to see a resurrected Jesus right in front of us. We don't get to touch his wounds. We don't get to walk down the road with him. But that doesn't mean that Jesus isn't there. When you start seeking Jesus with all of your heart, all of your strength, all of your mind, in all of your soul, with all of your being, you start to see God all around you. You see how he provides for you, even when it doesn't seem possible. You start to feel him comforting you, even though he can't physically put his arms around you. And through the Holy Spirit, we have God in us. We have someone to counsel . But the key is seeking Jesus, seeking God with all of your heart more than anything else. I want to close with this thought. Easter is more than Jesus' resurrection from the dead. Easter is a reminder to have a resurrected faith, to seek Jesus every day with all of your heart. Easter is about a sacrifice, not just Jesus's, but the sacrifice it takes to truly seek him and to find Jesus in every aspect of our lives. I encourage you guys today, as you spend time with family, or if you spend time alone, spend some time in the Word. Read all of the accountings. I think if you read what all the Gospels say, you'll have a broader picture of what took place on that day of resurrection on Easter. And I encourage you to view Jesus' resurrection as an opportunity to resurrect your faith. Because for some of us, we have a dead faith. We may claim Jesus, but we're not bearing much fruit. Resurrect your belief in him. Resurrect your trust in him. Put your belief and trust in the King of Kings, in the Lord of Lords, in Jesus, our resurrected Savior, who died for us, who gave us the greatest gift of all time, forgiveness of sins, and eternal life with him. Lord Jesus, we love you. Lord, help us to have hearts to seek you with all of our hearts, with all of our being, all of our mind, our soul, our strength. Help us to be resurrected Christians with that resurrected faith who wants to serve you each and every day, who desires what you desire, who wants us to be what you want us to be. Lord, I pray that we would look at Easter not only for the incredible blessing that it means for us who believe in you, but as an opportunity to share you with the world for those who do not know you. Because Easter is just as much for them as it is for us. Holy Spirit, we rely on you for the boldness, for the courage to talk about you. We love you. We thank you for what you're doing and what you've done. We pray this in your name.